Okay, I've got a question. What do an aspiring private investigator, a handmade greeting card, and a steady string of apple-themed desserts have in common?
Well, somehow, believe it or not, they are all key plot points in 2024's One Bad Apple, a Hannah Swenson mystery. We've got a lot to talk about, Josh.
We do, Jennifer. We'll unwrap it all on this episode of Do You Watch What I Watch? Well, if you've been with us for any period of time, you know we love a good whodunit, and we love a good baking montage. And it turns out we get both of those things in the new one we are recapping and reviewing on this episode as we head over to the newly named Hallmark Mystery, Jennifer.
Yeah, I haven't really kept up with all that. That's what it's called now, not movies and mysteries.
Yeah, just Hallmark Mystery. So
why? It's still a movie.
True, but I think that they really wanted to lean into the mystery piece, so stay tuned.
So what's the other channel? Is it still Hallmark?
Hallmark. Yes. Yeah. It's like a whole umbrella of Hallmark channels, I think.
Well, I knew there was a kerfuffle I saw in the Facebook groups that I'm a part of that people were upset, but I did not dive in further to understand why they were upset.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're actually doing a Hallmark Faith channel, too, so I think that there's several ideations. There's some rebranding happening over at Hallmark, I think, to kind of clarify what each of these little sub-channels is doing. So Hallmark Mystery is what they call this one. So there you have it.
Okay, well, first things first, well, before we talk about all that shenanigan, help us grow our podcast. If you're listening, hey, especially if you're Portugal, thank you to our Portugal listeners. We were number one at one point for the TV review podcast in Portugal. Hi, guys. Thanks. Hope you're here. But we love all of our listeners. So if you can, leave us a 5-star review and rating. It really helps us on whatever platform you listen to. I think Google Pods is no more. Yeah?
Yeah, it's gone away.
Yeah. RIP. But Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts, share it with a friend. We so appreciate it.
We certainly do. All right, let's get down to business. Here's the plot summary. This is from IMDb. Hannah Swenson has been asked to teach a baking class at the college in town, but soon a colleague ends up dead, and Hannah begins to put together the puzzle of the mysterious circumstances surrounding the murder. Hannah leans on her friends and family to collect the breadcrumbs of foul play and put them together, and meets a different side of the law and order when Lake Eden's prosecuting attorney, Chad Norton, enters her life. So curtain up, and we get ominous music out of the gate. They are really trying to set the tone on this. And someone is spying on our dear Allison Sweeney, playing Hannah Swenson, snapping pics as she's unpacking her trunk at the community college in town. She finds an apple stabbed, like literally stabbed with a knife, just rolling around the back of her SUV. Okay. Cut to some dramatic knife sharpening, and there's dripping, splattering red stuff all over the place. It might be blood. Might be. But then again, you remember, this is actually a Hallmark channel, so it's probably not blood. Just in time, because it's pretty frantic and dramatic. But turns out, whoops, she's just making candy apples. Gotcha! So, if you're not familiar, this is a ongoing series on Hallmark. I've actually watched all of these Hannah Swenson ones because I do like because I do like Allison Sweeney.
Such a casual. I've actually watched. I thought you'd say like a couple. I've watched the entire series.
They're all very good. I'm invested.
You need like a t-shirt or something. Probably okay, should. So I've watched zero of them. So can you give me like the briefest of, like, you know, Spark Note recap.
Right.
We know Hannah Swenson. We know your love for Allison Sweeney. But, right, like, how many of these characters are repetitive versus not?
Hannah Swenson, obviously, is the star. And she's surrounded by her mom and her sisters. And so it's sort of the four of them that always are kind of solving mysteries. There is, I don't know, Hannah Swenson has the worst luck of anyone because she's always winding up around people who die. So you kind of have to
don't be her friends.
Don't be her friends because you'll probably wind up dead. And that's exactly what happens in this one. So they're the main ones there. She's had some love interests in the past. And of course, there's some...
What's the deal with Norman?
Yeah. So Norman is a guy that she's had kind of like an on-again, off-again romance with. She also had an on-again, off-again romance with a guy named Mike who worked at the police department. And that was played by Cameron Matheson. And so this is the first one that they've done that he was not in because, of course, he has now gone over to Great American Family. So they had to find a way to get rid of his character and at the same time introduce another potential love interest. And that's exactly what they've done here. And it's
by Victor Webster. Yeah.
Yes. And it's interesting to note, Alison Sweeney wrote this one too. I don't know if you knew that or not, but she was the writer.
I didn't. I'm not a Sweeney head like you.
There you go.
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. There you go. Anyway, back to the plot here. Hannah is teaching apple turnovers at the community college and happens to see the mysterious photographer we saw earlier in the tree line, but she's surprisingly unbothered by it. Meantime, Bradford Ramsey, a British English professor, swings by to flirt with her, pitch the idea for some kind of collaborative cooking / literature class, and asks Hannah out on a date, much to the chagrin, we note pretty obviously, of one of the students in the class. Her name is Willa, and she is clearly crushing on the British professor. Creepy photographer is still snapping pics, and Hannah really seems not worried about it. I was a little confused. Mm-hmm. Now we're at Hannah's bakery in town, and we see some familiar faces, like I mentioned, namely Hannah's mother, who is capital E extra, and that's what you need to know. She has been extra for go in this series. I actually like that character. I think it's...
I love her. I've seen her in other movies, but I thought her character was very funny. Yeah,
I did too. Turns out she is the one who is creepily snapping pictures of Hannah and says she's trying to try something new. So stay tuned to find out what that something new is going to be. But we're going to find out pretty quickly.
She went full on Carmen Sandiego.
She did. Like, I thought exactly
she had the
same.
Most, like the craziest hat and jacket. Like, Google what does a detective look like? And that's what she was dressed as.
Exactly.
It was like cosplay of that. I mean,
we cut to a voiceover montage of Hannah Swenson cutting some apples and waxing philosophical about the power of ingredients in baking, which I agree. I mean, it is pretty powerful. Norman, who is a one-time love interest in the series, kind of on again, off again, stops by to ask her to dinner and says he's sorry that Mike, the other love interest that we've heard about on again, off again, has moved to Quantico. Now, he goes from, I guess, being a local police detective to presumably working at the FBI. And this is clearly how they wrote Cameron Matheson out of this series. He bolted for Great American Family, like I mentioned. At least they didn't.
You can't do both. Heaven forbid you do movies on both. You have to pick. It's like West Side Story over here. You
very
have to
much.
Pick a side.
It's all Jets and Sharks. And when you're a Jet, you're a Jet till the end, you know?
Yep, that's right.
Very that.
And he jetted out.
He did jet. Anyway, Hannah's back at her house a little bit later. She's talking to her cat, then her sister, about all of their shenanigans with their meddling mother, who is convinced that Norman likes Hannah, well, duh, and not some gal that we never see or meet in this thing called Diana. So apparently Norman has like a little thing going with this woman named Diana. We never meet her. It's very clear that Norman likes Hannah in this thing. So.
Well, that's why I was trying to piece it together, because I knew it was a series, and I was like, why isn't she with Norman? Why didn't they work out?
Yeah, they're trying.
Why
to
are they off
whole,
again?
They're trying to do this whole will they, won't they sort of thing. You know, it's kind
it's
of
not that
thing.
They dated and broke up. It's like a Ross and Rachel thing.
I think so.
From Friends.
Yeah, that's my sense.
Well, you think so? You've seen the entire series. You should
know.
So
I know. Well, that's my.
That's your interpretation.
That's my interpretation. Yes, of what they're trying to do.
If I was Diana, I'd be peeved because he's giving googly eyes. He's in that bakery. He's in her
a
bakery
lot.
Entirely too much.
A lot.
Yeah. Which I liked that the bakery was called Cookie Jar Bakery, because my husband and I have been to the Cookie Jar Cafe. And
Dunlap, I have too.
Yes. Have you really?
Yes, we
just
have
stumbled across it one day
there.
And we thought it was super cute.
Super cute. Indeed.
Really, yeah. Shout out Cookie Jar Cafe. They had a fire, but they're rebuilding.
They have rebuilt. Yes.
Yeah.
Back from the ashes. Norman and Hannah meet up at a place called Chameleon for dinner when she sees her student Willa, who is in tears for reasons unknown. Hannah sees her mom hiding incognito, looking like Carmen Sandiego in the corner. She reveals she's now a private investigator in town, so stay tuned. The professor who flirted with Hannah is there having a really rather intimate dinner with a woman who turns out to be his ex-wife. Huh? Okay.
Yeah. That's weird.
Now we're at the DA's office in town, and Chad Norton, Hallmark veteran Victor Webster here, is prepping her for an interview that has to do with a previous case that Hannah helped crack. It is a 2-minute meeting, and I'm left to wonder if this couldn't have just been a phone call. But then I'm like, ah, actually, it has to be in person because we have to find a way to introduce this new character. So there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Anna's back at the community college, and she's pretty chatty with some students about the Venn diagram of literature and baking, which seems like a sliver of a stretch to me. What about you?
I mean, I've seen that. I was gifted for my bachelorette party 50 Shades of Chicken. So that was kind of like quite the melding of recipe and fiction or movie cinema. So I think about there's like To Kill a Mockingbird. That's a book out there, you know, like a little spoof on To Kill a Mockingbird. I think people try to intertwine them.
There you go. Yeah, I'm here for it.
Severe degrees.
Yeah. Later on, Hannah is snooping around Bradford's office while waiting for their meeting. He catches her, and they talk about that overlap class that they're planning. He's a little bit distracted, however, by a meeting with Stacy, and Hannah saw the note, but Bradford lies about what that meeting is going to be, so clearly he is shady, and they want you to know it.
Yeah, and trust Bradford from go.
They're teaching the class a little bit later. It seems to be going well until Bradford's TA shows up, teaching assistant shows up, and the two have a little bit of a spat in the back of the classroom while poor Hannah's trying to teach these kids how to cook something. Hannah notices this is happening. She tries to smooth it over by having Bradford bake, you know, kind of do like a little let's bake together kind of thing. He flips on the burner and boom! Explosion. What?
When I tell you, I actually jumped when that happened. I was impressed with the amount of flameage we had. It was pretty nice.
Gotcha.
It did.
Gotcha.
Took my breath away.
We're back from commercial, and it is absolute chaos. I mean, if you've ever seen an episode of ER from back in the 90s when it was like real hot and heavy, it was kind of very much that sort of a vibe. People yelling and smoke and people just running all over the place.
Full on triage.
Triaging. Willa, it turns out, sustained some kind of injury, and Hannah is immediately suspicious of what happened here. She also knows a student, Kyle Williamson, has cell phone video of the explosion. So apparently, he was just filming the whole thing while it was going on. That's sus.
Yeah. Well, he just wanted to go viral, right? That was kind of the, you know, yada yada.
Exactly. And yeah. And Hannah learns that that video has gone viral, of course, from her meddling mom. Love her. A little bit later at the bakery. An awkward exchange unfolds at that bakery when Bradford pops by as Hannah and Norman are unpacking the developments we've learned so far. Norman calls Bradford a quote-unquote chaperoo, which made me LOL. I love that term, chaperoo.
Yeah.
Hannah's there for her court case deposition or something, getting a pep talk from Chad. She runs into her mom afterwards in the parking lot, who indicates she's been hired by Bradford's ex-wife, Stacy. Interesting. Stay tuned here. Hannah heads back to the college to break the news that she's not interested in Bradford. So she tootles into his office, which is like dimly lit in the middle of the day, interestingly enough, only to find him with a knife sticking out of his back. Murder! I audibly gasped, even though I knew from go that he was going to be the one who got it.
I know. It still got me. And my son, who's will be 6 this summer, was watching with me because he loves a Hallmark. Really, it's just an excuse to watch TV. Anything, he'll watch anything. And then Bradford showed up with a knife in him. And I was like, that's a wrap on you for this movie. He's like, why? I was like, too much mud. You need to stick with the Christmas flicks.
Exactly.
This is not good. Because I was afraid it would continue.
Yeah. Well, the good thing with these, they could be done with older kids because there is not a whole lot of blood and gore. I mean, for someone who had been stabbed
in the
back.
Yeah, it was very minor.
For someone who had been stabbed in the back, it was maybe like a trickle of blood. Like, clearly not representative of what would actually happen in that situation.
No, and he didn't flinch. I mean, he wasn't like freaked out about it. I was like, let's just kind of
still no. Yeah, no. Exactly. Anyway, Bradford's TA is there immediately talking to the police and says he's sad about it all. The detective is giving Chad the rundown on what happens here. Now, Hannah's back at the bakery. She's surprisingly chill about having discovered an acquaintance stabbed to death mere moments before. And she and her mom.
It's just another day.
Just another day. I mean, this has happened consistently in her life. So here we go again. She and her mom develop a very thoughtful suspect list. Hannah noticed a custom greeting card just thrown about there in the office. It had apples on it. And for someone so perceptive, however, she can't see where this is going quite like I can. Clearly, Hannah is about to emerge as one of the prime suspects in all of this.
Right. So, yeah.
Hannah is comforting students on campus with some baked goods and a listening ear. It turns out Bradford was a tough grader in his classes. Willa is surprisingly defensive of the professor, however, and we learn from Pam, her friend, that Willa had a crush on Bradford. And I literally said, well, duh. Of course. Yeah. It was really obvious.
The writing is on the wall there.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Chad gets some bad news on the case. There isn't much evidence out there at this point, except that we learn that the knife was Hannah's. Oof, here we go. She learns she's a suspect. She's more rattled by that fact than having discovered a literal stabbing victim. Hannah's mom learns Stacy, again, Bradford's ex, had a life insurance policy. So we get all these characters, and then little by little, we're getting sort of what their motives might have been and what their angle was. Hannah sneaks over to deliver some baked goods where Stacy works. She owns a floral shop in town, and she presses her on the life insurance thing. She's not looking like the one who did it, however, since her floral business is apparently exploding, she said, which I thought was an interesting choice of word considering we had a literal explosion earlier in this thing.
True. I think it's a missed opportunity to not make the greeting card a Hallmark card.
Oh, see, you know, they miss a lot of opportunities in this one. Honestly. She's not looking like the one who did it again, as I said. Hannah chats the case over with her cat a little bit later because the cat's apparently a B character in this thing. Then she gets alerted to stranger danger at her front porch on her little Ring camera, her Bobo Ring camera. She gets nervous that there might be an intruder because, of course, now she's a suspect in this case and she doesn't know what to do. So she does what any, you know, scared woman would do, I guess, and she grabs a ladle to defend herself.
I wish she'd grabbed a knife, because then they would be like, see, you are capable of grabbing knives.
Precisely. Turns out the supposed intruder is just her sister. So, gotcha. It was a brief moment of peril, a beam-up, if you will. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it turns out
by the way, guys, nobody sent us jingles.
Nobody sent us a beam-up jingle. Come on. Brief moment of peril.
Our Gmail was empty. Spiderwebs.
Crickets.
Just hanging out.
Crickets, yeah. We are on the hunt, by the way, listeners, for a jingle for our brief moment of peril, which is where we have a brief moment of peril in some of these movies. We would love to play a little jingle. So if you've got a great jingle that you want to record for us, just shoot us an email with that file at doyouwatchwhatiwatch@gmail.com. There you go. Turns out, big break in the case, police found bloody gloves a few blocks from campus, which may absolve Hannah. We'll see. She pops by the DA's office with some cookies. Chad, however, doesn't have a sweet tooth and is not impressed. Ooh. Hannah's mom snaps some sneaky pictures of Stacy's boyfriend leaving a hardware shop with a tarp. So maybe another suspect here? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hannah delivers cookies for Tim. Again, he's the TA, the teaching assistant, to press him on his possible motive. This is sort of what Hannah does. She takes these baked goods and tries to get in nice with people and gets them to talk and all of that sort of thing. She's done that in other movies too. So this is like a
continuous thing. Because you've seen them all. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, it did make me laugh. I made a note that it was almost like she had that crumble box. It was like a crumble sized box of cookies.
Exactly.
It's like her goodwill, her little peace offering. Yay. Exactly. Tell me all your secrets about your life insurance. I have cookies and
there you go.
Tarts.
It gets people to open up. There's a time crunch here, however, since the semester is apparently over in just like a week or something. And it turns out Tim got a promotion since his boss is, well, dead. So maybe he had a little bit of motive, too. Mm-hmm. Anna and Norman work together to sneakily get the transcripts from Bradford's class. And it turns out Kyle Williamson, the guy who had the cell phone video, was failing Bradford's English class. The DNA is back. Meantime, on the glove, and we learn there's an unknown male contributor in sweat inside the bloody glove. So apparently Hannah is not the killer, thankfully. Hannah's at an art
that
show.
Very fast. Like they're really moving fast to, you know, process evidence and do testings and things.
And I kind of wonder, and we could save this for Cold or Gold, but I kind of wonder if there might have been like one or two too many B characters or one or two too many suspects and it just became a little too muddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hannah's at an art show, and what do you know? Pam, again, Willa's friend, made the custom card that was found next to Bradford's body. Hannah asks who bought it, but Pam is cagey or confused, doesn't quite remember. It seemed a little cagey to me. She spots Kyle being super shady in the hallway and follows him. He's cagey too, but he's pretty adamant that he did not kill the professor. Hannah's back at the police department a little bit later. She has
Wait, I'm sorry. I have to.
Yeah, go.
Can we talk about what Hannah purchased at the art? It was the creepiest cat painting.
It was a cat
painting that was like, how big? I mean, that thing was like 4 feet tall.
And it was so unnecessary. I mean, she could have just been at the art fair because she was in between classes and just perusing things. Like, she did not have to be carrying this gaudy canvas around.
When I lost all respect for Hannah.
Yeah, it was definitely not a stylish piece of art for someone who otherwise is really, I think, kind of a cute little character. It was very not something that I would ever want to put on my house.
It was like a mystical cat, like a mystical, and then you see her house cat at the end, and it's very Pottery Barn. I'm sorry, yeah, the aesthetics don't match.
They don't. They don't. Exactly. I was
I couldn't let it pass. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you didn't. Yeah, Hannah's back at the police department. She's got some flirty banter with Chad. They're doing that oil and water will they, won't they thing. I kind of like it, but it's also sort of the thing that they continually do with her in these things. She's very will they, won't they, and all of that sort of thing, because she's very focused, focused on her business, focused on baking, focused on the mystery du jour. And so there you have it. Hannah and her gals unpack the case over a candlelight dinner. Hannah's mom is leaning towards Stacy's boyfriend as the killer, who Stacy said might be cheating on her. So we get more of that story unfolding. Willa doesn't show up for the cookie baking final for Hannah's class. Oof. So Hannah's a little bit worried about Willa, so she stops by with baked goods. Willa insists she did not have a relationship with the professor, but at this point, I'm not so sure. She's a little cagey. Mm-hmm. It seems like she's being dishonest. Hannah runs into Chad at a bar in town. He tells her DNA won't be enough. And there's more banter about the case over dinner because Hannah's mom and sister show up for a group dinner, a foursome. Chad's there, maybe on a date. He's there with a woman, of course, and Hannah is pretty intrigued. She's reminded that Bradford had a dog because the whole time they've been trying to get into Bradford's cell phone for evidence and they can't get the passcode. She remembers the dog's name, and that turns out to be the passcode for the phone. So again, she saves the day for the police, which is, again, one of these consistent things. Hannah is able to come up with the clues and the leads and the stuff that sort of helps police move the case forward.
Meanwhile, the police department is getting promotions to Quantico, but they can't figure out how to crack
local. Which is not at all how that works, anyway.
Right. I would assume not. Yeah.
Hannah goes back to confront Willa. And before you know it, Willa is holding the two of them at gunpoint.
Yeah. It took a turn quick.
When I tell you, like a two-wheeled screeching right turn around a corner, it was like, here we go.
I rewound it. I was like,
the same thing.
DVR glitch. What are we doing?
Yeah. What's happening?
How did we get here?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Her brother, turns out, we learn like that, is the one who did it.
And he's the one that was videoing the cooking class explosion, right?
No, that's not. Yeah.
No?
No. Kyle was the one who's videoing the explosion. Her brother was a guy named Perry. Yeah. And we've not seen him very much at all in this thing. Yeah.
No. I thought it was the same guy that did the video. Okay. Well,
very out of left.
Doodle on me.
Yeah. Okay. Doodle. It's getting insane and intense. And you can really tell it by the music. They really want you to feel like the heart pulsing energy of all of this. But good thing Hannah is tracking cupcake liners like Goldilocks along the way. Or not Goldilocks, but, you know, who was the
leaving
one?
A trail of breadcrumbs, like Hansel and Gretel, maybe.
That's
or something.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah, she was trying to be all Hansel and Gretel about it, leaving cupcake liners, because Willa is leading them out to a cemetery. Chad and the detective, or they're hot on the trail, tracking her down, that sort of thing. Willa leads them, like I said, to a cemetery, and before we know it, Perry is there too. He admits to doing it. There's the briefest of struggles. She tries to take her on, and Perry and Norman get into it, and there's a shot fired, and Norman winds up saving the day. No one gets hurt. So there you have it. Mm-hmm. But it's over pretty quickly. we're back at the bakery, and Hannah is talking about having to stay on your toes as a baker. It's another one of these voiceover kind of montage things. Then we get a final flirt with Chad as they talk about the impending trial. Then Hannah and her family unpack all of the motives. It's very sort of like the end scene of Murder, She Wrote, when Angela Lansbury would be like, here's what happened, and here's why it happened, and da-da-da. It was very that.
Over caramel apple
brunch.
Flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looked tasty. Yeah, they were just hanging out.
Just hanging out like gal pals.
Shooting the breeze. Oh, yeah. Remember when so-and-so died and we were almost shot? Yeah, that was weird.
Solved it, yeah. And then we get a slow-motion champagne toast, big smiles, and we fade to black.
Okay, it's time for our gold or coal segment. If you're new to the podcast, Josh and I each bring three gifts to the pod. If there is more gold this time, it's going to be fresh Honeycrisp. And if it's more coal, it's a mealy, golden, delicious apple.
Yeah.
And if it's a tie, it's just a meh. Josh, you get to go first.
Sure. So I'm going to give some gold. This is going to come as no surprise. I just love Allison Sweeney. I think that she is a great actress. I think she's great in this kind of a venue, too. And I liked that she actually wrote this. Now, I do wish that she would have been a suspect for a little bit longer. I think they resolved that a little too soon, and it needed to be a little bit more, did she do it? You know, I think they could have done that a little bit longer than they did. But overall, for her sort of writing this thing and also being the title character, I liked her in it, and I would watch another one with her in this role.
Mm-hmm. All right. I will give some coal. There were way too many characters to keep track of. And I say this a lot. Maybe I just have a simpleton mind. But now, admittedly, I have not seen every other movie in the series like Josh has. I'm not in the Allison Sweeney fan club. I like her, but I'm not, you know, that committed. So I found it difficult to jump into just this one. I didn't know who Norman, I thought Norman was the killer. I was like, he seems weird. Why is he around so much? Like, I just didn't know all the backstory. And they did try to kind of fill you in and catch you up, but I didn't realize they were her sisters. I thought they were her friends for a while. Like, I was just confused by all these people and their histories. So I could have done with a few less characters.
Understood. Yeah, and that's a tough thing to do with these series.
Yeah.
They do have viewers who have seen all of them, and they do have viewers who haven't, and they have to spend precious time catching you up or finding ways to do it. So that, I agree. I think that there was probably one or two too many suspects in all of this. They could have done away with some of those people. And, you know, a character like Pam, Willa's friend, we really didn't need her, honestly. It was just kind of a little cluttery for me.
Yeah.
I liked Victor Webster, more gold for me. I thought that there was a lot of talk about what are they going to do with this Cameron Matheson role. And I liked the way that they wrote him out of it. Kind of opens the door for him to maybe come back if things change. You never know. But I do like this new character. I thought Victor Webster was good in terms of not falling all over himself to sort of assert himself as a love interest and kind of playing cat and mouse a little bit with her. And I saw him sort of develop a little bit of respect for her and her work and that sort of stuff on the case as things would progress. So I hope that he's back in another one of these with her. I thought that they had good chemistry.
Yeah, and I like him a lot. I've seen him in quite a few movies, and he always delivers. So yeah, he's really good. I will give some gold for the mom, and I'm trying to find her name. What's her name? Barbara Nevins? Is that
Yeah.
Her name? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved her. I think she's so fun. So even if the Carmen Sandiego bit was a little out there, hey, by the end, she's getting calls for other PI gigs. So she's really doing it, I guess.
And it's
there's a lot of mischief and crime going on in this town.
Do you remember when Allison Sweeney and Barbara Nevin, is it Nevin or Nevins? Nevins?
I don't, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's not anyway, they played mother and daughter in one that we saw on Hallmark. It was the one with the magical village, and they would move the pieces around the village and things would happen. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that one.
Yeah.
Why did I think that wasn't Marla Thomas?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah.
Confusion. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Good for you. See? Keeping me on track. Should have done my research.
I give gold.
Good for you. All right. My last gift is going to be gold. I legitimately thought that this one was pretty entertaining. Like, I wanted to see what happened. I thought that it had sort of a good blend of suspense and a little bit of humor and a little bit of romance, but not too much romance, and just enough cheese to kind of make it feel like what I sort of look for in these. Were I always want there to be one or two moments where I'm rolling my eyes, and I definitely got it in this. That's partly the reason why I watch these, is to have a moment like that. And I just thought it was legitimately pretty entertaining.
I agree. You took one of mine earlier. I do think I will give Cole, it was a little too lighthearted at the end for having just been through what they've been through. I know it's Hallmark and we want to leave on a happy note, but the champagne and the brunch, it was just like yucking it up around the island, was a little, it gave me a little bit of whiplash. I'm sorry. That don't need to be dark, but it was a complete opposite.
So. Yeah.
I thought the moments of peril in the graveyard and all that, I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, pretty
so suspenseful. It was just such a tonal shift that it was a little jarring. So.
A tonal shift. I like that. Yes. So the bottom line, dear listener, four gold, two coal. We are going to call it a fresh honey crisp apple. So Jennifer, for your first Hannah Swenson, what did you think?
Yeah, I really love Allison Sweeney and Victor Webster. So I'm invested in this little group of yahoos. I could watch some more. Okay. I don't know that I'll go back and watch the whole catalog because I'm not as much of a mystery gal. Really, I go to Hallmark for the holiday movies. More
time. Understood. Understood.
No, but I thought they did a good job of what they set out to do.
No, I will tell you, they also have the Curious Caterer series on Hallmark Mystery.
Yes.
And
we talked about one of those.
Yeah, yeah. I may like those a little bit better than the Hannah Swenson ones.
But why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think that they're more suspenseful, I think. Mm-hmm. The Hannah Swenson ones tend to have a lot of these scenes where it's Hannah and her mom and her sisters sort of talking about the case, right?
Okay.
And yeah. Curious Caterer is more like Goldie, who's the caterer in those, talking with the police, and actually the two of them kind of doing all the work. So,
yeah,
it's a little bit like that.
So. Yeah, and Nikki DeLoach and Andrew Walker's chemistry
so on screen
is
yeah.
so good.
But
so.
It's also very much that will they, won't they, which is, I think, the thing that they do with the couples on Hallmark Mystery more than they do over on Hallmark, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
But a good one, I thought. Sure. Yeah.
And that, friends, is another episode of Do You Watch What I Watch?
Special thanks, as always, to our good friend Nick Schwarz for writing our amazing theme song, and to all of you for taking the time to listen or watch.
And hey, if you're here, we're so glad to have you. If you need links to anything, where to find us, where to subscribe, leave reviews, etc., go to our website at doyouwatchwhatiwatch.com. Next time, we're back to the Hallmark Channel to recap and review Blind Date Book Club, and here's the plot summary. A Nantucket bookshop owner, known for matching others, finds connection with a best-selling author who visits her store. As you can imagine, we will have much to discuss, but until then,
may your days be merry and bright. We will see you soon.